I thank God that we can open up His Word this morning and we can see what He has for us. You know, I was thinking this week, Central Baptist Church for 90 years has been a light in this community. For 90 years, it's preached the gospel. For 90 years, it's reached out. For 90 years, it's been here to tell people how they can be saved and they can know that they're saved and they can walk with God afterwards and serve God and live for God. But during that time, I'm sure there were many temptations. And we're talking 90 years. I don't know about you, but it's difficult to get through some days without many temptations to say something or do something that's not in line with God or not correct. And so I'm sure during that time that there have been many temptations during that 90 years. I'm sure members have been tempted to forsake God's ways and to live after the flesh, to please themselves and do as they would like to do. I'm sure the pastors, the leaders, have been tempted to please the people instead of preaching the Word of God. I'm sure the church itself has been tempted to turn to worldly methods for growth instead of seeking after God and been tempted to set aside God's ways for man-made methods and schemes. But praise God, this church has continued to seek after God. This church has continued to do the things that God would want it to do and do it in God's ways. And so today we're going to look at, in the Scriptures, we're going to look at David. And I hope and pray we're going to be able to see that he was able to follow God, though he was greatly tempted. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 26. And we're going to begin reading in verse 5, 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 5. And as you're turning there this morning, I want to draw your attention to the fact that David was tempted greatly, but he remained faithful to God's ways. Remained faithful to God's ways. He didn't set God's ways aside to please his flesh. He didn't set God's ways aside to please those that he was with. He didn't set God's ways aside so he could have success, so he could find the blessings that the world were willing to give him. Instead, following after those temptations, as we'll see this morning, David remained faithful to God. And as individuals, I hope it's a challenge to you in your personal life. As a church, I pray that it's a challenge to you. As a pastor, I want to pray that it's a reminder to me to be faithful to God and in His ways. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 5 says, "And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David, and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul, to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with his spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. Dear Lord, we come to you thanking you for the blessings you've provided. I pray this morning as we examine this passage, I pray that you'll open up the word to us. I pray we see the teachings, Lord. I also pray that we can understand the practical lessons that are there for us. And I pray that we'll be open to your word this morning and willing to apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want you to notice, we're going to look at three areas of David's life just in this section here. And I hope and pray that this will, well, first be a reminder of the importance of God's ways, but secondly, a challenge to remain faithful to God's ways. You see, as we live, no matter what generation believers live in, there's always going to be temptations. to do something the way of the world, or to go away from God and His ways. So I hope and pray this morning this will just be a challenge to you as you live for God, to remain faithful to Him. Now, notice first David's determination. We find that in verse 5. It says, David arose, came to the place where Saul had pitched, and he beheld the place where Saul lay. And then in verse 6, it says, then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai, he says, who will go down with me to Saul, to the camp? So David was determined at this point to go into the camp where Saul was. Now, we have two men here that were alongside David. One is Ahimelech the Hittite, and the other one is Abishai. Now, that's David's cousin, and a faithful and fierce soldier and warrior. That's what the Bible tells us. This man was not only faithful and loyal, but he was fierce. He was a tough man. And David here presents this option to these two men, and David says, I'm going. He was determined to go into this camp. Whether it was he had, planned ahead to go and kill Saul and change his mind later, or perhaps all along he just planned to go in and either meet with Saul or at least take something and prove to Saul that he was innocent and that he had no desire to take his life. But David was determined to go. And so the Bible tells us that Abishai here said, I'll go with you. We have a man, a good friend. Thank the Lord for your good friends in life who will walk with you as far as when you're serving the Lord and you're walking by faith. Thank the Lord for them, whether it's your spouse or a brother or a sister or a close friend. Just give God thanks for your close friends that will encourage you as you serve the Lord. Now, David, I believe, went by faith into Saul's camp. Notice he did not need a how-to book to guide him. He simply looked to God and walked by faith. You see, that's what God expects today. Even 2012, it hasn't changed. We're to look to God, trust Him, walk by faith. And so David went into this camp by faith. Bible tells us that he was protected. He was blessed. Saul was sound asleep. How many of you are sound sleepers? Hope not this morning in here. But sometimes we can sleep soundly. Saul was sound asleep. Now, in this case, he had a little bit of help in his sleep. God had ensured they would stay asleep. That's what the Bible tells us, that God had ensured that they would sleep or made sure that they would not wake up. And we find that here in verse 12. We didn't read verse 12, but at the end it says, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. So these men were asleep because God made sure they stayed asleep. You see, Saul's men, Abner, his captain, all of his experienced soldiers, they had did everything correctly, I believe. We find here that they had circled themselves around their leader. They had went to bed that night, and they slept, and they slept, and they continued to sleep. And David entered into the camp with Abishai, and the sleep was a miracle sent by God. These men who had pursued David relentlessly, these men who were going to take his life if they caught up with him, these men who hated and despised David, were all of a sudden helpless before him. I tell you, it's easy for God to humble the proud. It's easy for God to weaken the strong. It's easy for God to pull down the mighty. See, that's nothing for God. And that's what we have here. God humbled these men without even them realizing it. Here they are sleeping, and David and his cousin are sitting there right in the midst of them. And now we come to David's dilemma. David's dilemma. He had a decision he had to make. And as we get into this, I want you to remember, this was a split-second decision. He wasn't going to have time to go and meditate on it or to seek out God's Word or even really to go for a season of prayer. He had to make a quick decision. You see, that's how life often is. You know, when temptations come upon us, it's usually we have a quick decision to make. That's why it's best to be walking with God, to know God's Word, to be ready to give an answer. Now, notice the dilemma that David faced. And he was tempted, I believe, in four areas. And we're going to notice them real quick this morning. As we go back to our passage, it says there in verse 7, So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And then verse 8, it says, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. The first temptation for David was the situation. The situation. David and Abishai were alone before Saul while he slept on the ground. All of Saul's other soldiers and even his captain were asleep around him. Nobody saw them. Nobody was witnessing what was taking place. Nobody was there to stop them, to apprehend them. They had a situation where David could have chosen to do whatever he wanted, basically. the door of opportunity appeared to be open. It really did. Earlier, now, we're not going to turn there, but in 1 Samuel 24, it tells us there that, if you remember, David spared Saul's life in the cave. And when you read that passage, now, I'm not saying that it was an accident because God allowed Saul to go in there, but David didn't pursue that situation. David was in the cave hiding. Saul went in there to get some rest, and David found Saul. And so that really, in a sense, was almost like just an accident. David didn't plan it. David didn't work for it. And so David allowed Saul to live, and David allowed Saul to move on. But in this case, it's different. David had purposely went into the camp. God had protected him the entire time because of the sleep that had come upon these men. Now we notice as they're there, Saul is sleeping before them, so they're standing or kneeling above him, and Abishai, David's cousin, looks at David, and I tell you what, in his mind, God had given them an opportunity to settle things with Saul. I mean, notice what he said here. It says there in verse 8, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. In other words, it's done, David. God has blessed you. God has given you this wonderful opportunity to settle things with your enemy. You see, I believe to Abishai, these were undoubtedly evidences of God's favor. And they would be correct. David and him would be correct to slay King Saul because of the opportunity that presented itself. And you know what David could have done at this moment? He could have reasoned along with Abishai. He could have said, you're right. Look at this opportunity we have. You're correct. We've got to take advantage of this. Today, many decisions, many people, many believers, many churches make decisions simply because there's an opportunity. Simply because they say, well, God has opened a door. I must go through it. I want to caution you on that this morning. I want to encourage you to think over a few things. First, open doors may be opportunities, but we must make sure we're not violating God's word in the process. Just because an open door is in front of us doesn't mean that God has said go through it. We must make sure that we are still living in accordance with God's word. You see, the Holy Spirit, if you're saved here this morning, the Holy Spirit resides within you. The Bible teaches that He is there with you. He'll guide you, direct you, comfort you, and the list goes on of all the things that the Holy Spirit will bless us with. I believe the Spirit will never lead contrary to God's Word. You see, we have God's Word right here. I don't believe the Spirit is going to guide you opposite of what His Word teaches. So, this morning, when a door presents itself, an open door presents itself in your life, make sure that if you go through that door, that you won't be violating God's Word, that you'll be in line with God's Word. You see, the Spirit will never lead you in an opposite direction. Now, here's some thoughts on this. You know, sins like lying, stealing, cheating, adultery. And I could probably go on and on and on and on. Sins like that can never be justified because the Bible makes it clear that they're sins. And so the Bible has said those sins are sins against God. We can't justify those, even if a door is opened up before us. Even if the whole world says, it's all right, go through, we're going through. We can't justify those according to God's Word, no matter what the situation. So just because the situation appears to be correct doesn't mean that we are to follow after. That was the first temptation. Here's the second one. We'll go back to our passage. It says there in verse 8, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand. He says, now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once. He says, I will not smite him the second time. Basically what we have Abishai telling David, he's saying, guess what, David? I can guarantee I'll finish this. Now we're talking about, you read the rest of 1 Samuel and you read some of 2 Samuel, you know what you'll find? Abishai was a tough warrior. Abishai was a fighter. And he's looking at David saying, it just takes me probably even less than a second, I'll take care of this. This was a guarantee victory. Success. That's the second temptation David faced. Success. You see, this wasn't a long distance shot with a bow and arrow. He's standing right in front of him. Saul's asleep. It had been over in a matter of seconds. Abishai could slay Saul, and I believe both of them could have been out of the camp safely. You see, success is a great temptation. With one thrust of the spear, all of David's difficulties, as far as those that were coming from King Saul, would be gone. You don't tell me he wasn't tempted. All of the difficulties that he had faced because of King Saul would be over with. Just with one thrust of the spear, it'd be done. His enemy would be gone. King Saul would be over with. Now think of this. What if the roles were reversed? We know Saul probably would have taken advantage of this opportunity and would have slain David. Now David here, his life would have been saved. Who would pursue him? His enemy's gone. His future would be bright. Remember, he was anointed to be the next king. So his future would be bright. I tell you what, success is tempting. Now there's nothing wrong with success as long as we're living according to God's word, walking with God. But simply to chase after something or to go through a door to do something based on success, we've got to be careful of that. You see, the promise of success is one of the greatest temptations to sin. Perhaps the greatest temptation we face today. It really is. You think about the promises of success and why it's so easy to fall into that temptation. I just think of children. You know, we got some young children in our church, and I've seen many of them do something. When I say do something, I've seen them make jumps and leaps across over chairs, try to get off tables. And I tell you, when they make that jump, it's not because they think they're going to miss. They're tempted because they think they can make it success, and they're going to go for it. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't make it. Success. We've got to be careful of this. You know why people steal? Because they think they can get away with it. Of course, they want it. We know that. But they wouldn't go and steal something if they thought they'd be caught, and if they knew for sure that they would have to face some jail time, and they wouldn't get away with what they're going to do. They steal because they think they're going to get away with it. That's why people commit fraud today in large corporations. It's sad, but we read about that all the time now. It's because they think they're going to get away with it. Success. They think it's worth it and that they'll make it. That's why people gamble, because they think they're going to win. That's why that's why people buy lottery tickets. They think they're going to win. They don't go buy a lottery ticket because they think they're going to lose. That temptation of success. I can win. I can get it. Let's go for it. That's why many churches turn to entertainment. We can draw a crowd. Success. We can get people. Success. That's why pastors sometimes will refrain from preaching difficult subjects. Or even sometimes even avoid teaching or preaching against sin. Because they can keep a crowd or draw more people. You see, it's that temptation of success. And that's what David faced here. Success. He knew. Abishai made it clear. You make this decision, you'll be successful. It'll happen. You won't get caught. Now let's look at the third temptation here. The third temptation. We go back to 1 Samuel 26. And it says there in verse 8, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. He says, now therefore let me smite him. Now here's the third temptation that I want to give to you or show you this morning. How about the strong persuasion from Abishai? Abishai was David's cousin, his faithful companion, and a brave warrior. I mean, he really was a loyal friend. Sometimes it's easy to be influenced by close friends and family. It is. It's easy for us to hear what they have to say because we love them, we care for them, we respect them. And we can be influenced by them, by what they say. Now, Abishai was a respected and loyal man. You know, that's what the devil does today. He tries to get respected people to accept sin so that way he can promote sin. That's what's happening in our world today. You know, you watch sinful commercials promoting sin. They're not going to have people up there that people don't respect or think are cool or neat. The devil throws up people that the world will look and say, hey, I want to be like that. That person's kind of cool or neat or someone I want to follow after because of the influence that's there. Now, Abishai was ready to perform this deed. I mean, I imagine he probably had his hand sitting on that spear. He was ready to go. And David could have moved aside. You know what he could have done? He could have just stepped aside. He could have gave the approval and said, go ahead, take care of it. And then you know what David could have done? David could have blamed Abishai. He could have said, well, Abishai did it. I didn't do it. He did it. He's the one who did the action. He's the one who's responsible. You know, I think it's our sinful nature to cast blame on others instead of accepting responsibility for sin. And I'll back that up with this. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis and go back to the book where we find the story of Adam and Eve, and we go back to the garden. And remember what happened after they sinned when God confronted them? You remember what Adam said? He said, it's the wife you gave me. Ever since then, I guess men have been blaming their wives for things. But he said, it's the wife you gave me, God. That's why I've sinned. You see, immediately, The first man who sinned cast blame on someone else, didn't want to take responsibility for that action. You see, it's our sinful nature to cast blame on someone else. And David could have done that. He was tempted. He could have followed the strong persuasion, allowed Abishai to kill Saul, and then just said, well, you know, it was his actions. Now let's look at the fourth and final temptation David faced here. We see this, and we go back to our passage in verse 7. It says, so David and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench. It says, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once. I will not smite him the second time. Spiritualization is what I'm going to just call this one, this temptation. Abishai basically told David it's God's will. Notice what he said there at the beginning of verse 8. God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. In other words, God has brought you here. God has allowed him to sleep just so you could take advantage of the situation and you could take care of and allow me to slay King Saul. You see, because Saul was David's enemy, he believed that God had delivered him into his hands. Because Saul was evil, and Saul was evil, Saul did many evil acts, he believed that they would be correct to take Saul's life. I want to remind you of something. He didn't have God's word to support him on this. I believe Abishai was a good man. But like a lot of people, he just assumed some things. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. He assumed it was God's will. But he didn't have a direct order from God. He wasn't told that this was what David should have been doing. You see, that today, I think many are doing the same thing. Many that want to justify their sin are trying to twist and pervert scriptures in order to justify their sin. In order for them to look and say, look, it's okay what I'm doing. And that covers everything from adultery to homosexuality. They're taking the Bible, twisting it to try to meet their needs. The Bible doesn't say those things. They work diligently to justify their sinful actions. And then they look for approval. Hey, it's okay. You see, that's what was happening here. Now, it may not have been to that extreme, but Abishai assumed it was God's will because of the opportunity. And so he spiritualized things. Hey, God has brought you here. God has brought this situation to me. Let's take care of things. And I think what happened next is Abishai probably waited for David's approval. I imagine he held on to that spear. Some believe he grabbed King Saul's spear that was sitting there. Some believe he had his own. Either way, I imagine he probably held on to that. He probably looked at David. And he's probably just waiting for the nod of approval. All David probably had to do was just give him a simple go ahead. And then, it would have been over. And they'd have been out. So he was waiting. Now keep in mind, David had really just a matter of seconds to make this decision. Maybe a few minutes to make this decision. But he didn't have a day to think on it or meditate on it. And now that's what I want you to notice. This is our third and final thought here. Notice David's determination to follow God. David's determination to follow God. It says there in verse 9, and David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. This morning, I want you to notice David's determination to follow God. We took a quick look at the four areas he was tempted in. The four areas he was tempted to move forward. But notice David's determination to follow God. First, David did not hesitate with his decision. He immediately stopped Abishai and said, destroy him not. He didn't think it over. He didn't reason it out. He ended the temptation immediately. Now that's a lesson for us. You see, the longer you linger, the easier it becomes to give in. You find yourself being tempted, just get away. As Joseph did when he was tempted there in Potiphar's house. What did he do? He fled. He just ran away. If you find yourself tempted, get away. Even you may not be able to run out of the office where you work, but at least you can maybe step aside a little bit, gather your thoughts, seek God, and then move on. But be willing to get away from the temptation. You see, also David did not leave any doubt to his decision. He didn't look at Abishai and said, you know, let's discuss this. Or let's debate. David knew the answer. He said, stop. He said, don't do this. And so he immediately settled the matter. You know, we're tempted. Let's just end it immediately. Let's just stop and say, no, I'm not going to go that direction. I'm not going to go after sin. I know it's wrong, so I'm going to settle it and move forward. You see, David understood that this would be an attack on God's anointed. And he makes that clear, that this would be an attack on God's anointed. He says that in verse 9. In verse 9, he says, who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? You see, Saul was still the anointed king of Israel at this time. Now, being anointed means that he was separated. When he was anointed that day, God separated him from the rest of the people. And God did this for a purpose. So that way Saul would be king, Saul would be the leader, and the people could follow after him. Being anointed, he was to serve God. That was his responsibility. Now he failed. We know Saul failed. But his responsibility was to serve God. Being anointed, he was accountable to God. God would hold him accountable for his actions. Being anointed, I guess you could say he belonged to God, or he was in God's hands, as far as God was watching over him and God would deal with him in his time. You see, Saul was still the king of the country. He was still God's man at the moment to lead. And an attack on him would be an attack on God's authority and would be an attack on God's plan for the country of Israel. Now, by the way, to apply this teaching to any other position besides the king of Israel is absolutely wrong. This is not applicable to any national leader today or any pastor. This was King Saul. This was the king of Israel is what we're talking about. Now, David's fear in this situation, I tell you what he feared. He feared going against God's authority. Now, let's stop and think about that for a minute. David had this great burden upon him. Saul was pursuing him relentlessly. David had to live pretty much on the run. Bible tells us he slept in caves. He slept in fields. He pretty much slept wherever he could find a place to sleep. He had lost his popularity, he had lost his position, he lost his comforts. Everything in the world that he had was stripped from him, and he lived on the run. I tell you, he got to the point where we see later in this book that he got to the point where he feigned madness, pretended to be mad and crazy so that the Philistines would take him in. David was living a miserable life at this time. And so I think we find here that he came to the understanding that he feared God's authority, or at least he feared God, more than he did his situation, more than he did King Saul. If he sinned, he knew it would be against God. Yes, he could get rid of his enemy. Yes, he might open up a door for him to perhaps get some of those things back. But he would also sin against God. You see, David chose to endure the hardship and to continue in God's ways. This morning, we may have to make that decision at times where we have to say, well, if I got to continue with God and struggle with this difficulty, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, then guess what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to stand for the Lord. You see, David is more concerned with being innocent before God than being safe from Saul. I want to challenge you to think on that in your life. Make that something you consider when you make your decisions. Let's make sure we're innocent before God. Make sure we're doing what is correct. Now, thirdly, we see David knew it would be an assumption of God's will. He says there, David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him on this day, shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. You know what David did? He looked at the situation. Yes, he said, hey, we have an opportunity. But then he examined it in the light of God's word. You see, Saul was God's anointed. Saul was protected. And so David concluded that, hey, Saul should be spared. Just because we can kill him doesn't mean we should. You see, loved ones, this morning, just because a door is open doesn't mean you go through it. I want to encourage you, when God blesses you with opportunities, go to God's Word. Make sure that you will not be violating God's Word. And if you're not, then go forward. God has blessed you. But if so, be willing to bypass that opportunity and to move on. And that's what David was willing to do. Now, to state an opportunity is God's will is an assumption. You see, I think here that Abishai was assuming that God had brought all of this together so that way David could slay Saul. You see, it was an assumption that he made. And today, you know, there are a couple of phrases today that are thrown around. I think they're thrown around a little too much and probably too lightly and often incorrectly. And here's two of them. How about God's will? You know, you go to the bookstores, you can find books on God's will all over the place. Or you get online, you can find messages on God's will or the will of God. We have to understand a few things. First, we have God's revealed will right here the Bible. This is God's revealed will. It tells us about Him, about who He is. It tells us about His works with the people of Israel. It tells us about Jesus Christ, about the gospel. It tells us about the way to come to Him, to approach to Him. You know, it goes on and on and on. This is God's revealed will, and we have this today, the Bible. But I can tell you this, right now, you and I have no idea what God is thinking at this moment. We have no idea what God is planning. And to believe we do, or to teach that we do, really it's presumptuous when you think about it. We have no clue what God is thinking. Here's what we know about God. We know He has a plan. We know He's perfect. We know He's powerful. We know He's good. We know He will work all things for good according to His will. That's what we find in Romans 8:28. And so I want to encourage you this morning to make decisions in consideration of God's Word, His revealed will. And then trust that God will work things out for good, as it says in Romans 8:28. You see, that's how we're to make decisions. We're not to go and stab in the dark, or, you know, some play Bible roulette where they just flip and say, "Well, look, this verse is talking to me today." We're not to make decisions like that. What we're to do is to read the Bible, study the Bible, know the Bible. And then if a decision presents itself, if we know that, hey, it's not contrary to God's Word, then God has opened up a door, I'm not doing anything against God, I can go through it if I choose to, go through that and trust that God will work all things out for good. You see, that's walking by faith. And God wants us to walk by faith. And so this morning, David knew it was an assumption to think he knew God's will. This morning, let's not pretend to know God's will, but let's pray that God will work His will in our life, and that He'll work all things out for good. Now finally, notice David knew it was unnecessary. Verse 10, we've already read that. He says, as the Lord liveth, the Lord should smite him. You see, David knew that Saul would die in the Lord's time. He said he'll die either in a sudden way, perhaps he'll be smitten with a stroke or a heart attack, is what this is referring to, or he'll die in a natural way after a long life, or he'll die in battle, where kings and soldiers often perish. You see, David knew that it was unnecessary for him to take this in his hands. He knew it was unnecessary for him to go and do something about it because God was in control. You see, David believed that God would remove Saul when he was good and ready to remove Saul. This morning, I want to encourage you to think on that. God will take care of all things in our life when He's good and ready for it. Let's be faithful. You see, God had blessed David through the years. And in this situation, David chose not to seek vengeance. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 12. Notice this passage is verse Romans 12. And notice what it says in verse 19. He says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." You see, we're not to seek vengeance. We're not to go out and settle personal vendettas. Now, this is not teaching that we don't have our rights. You know, the Apostle Paul often claimed his rights within the Roman Empire. As Americans, if we have rights, we should claim them. Thank God for those. But we should not be seeking personal vendettas and going after people, paying them back, seeking vengeance on others. We're to allow God to work and allow God to take care of the situation. Now, of course, David didn't have this verse before him, but he practiced the teaching. He wasn't going to seek vengeance on Saul. Instead, he would allow God to take care of the matter. What we find, David had a choice. And what he did, he gave it to God and he trusted in God with the matter. David chose to follow God. You see, that's important. That's what this teaches us here. He chose to follow God. Now, you'll notice he didn't argue. He didn't argue that God had given Saul into his hands. He knew the opportunity was there. He knew that they could take Saul if they wanted to. He didn't argue that. He understood there was an open door. But what we have is he looked upon the situation differently than Abishai. Abishai believed the Lord provided an opportunity to slay Saul. I mean, in his mind, that's what it was there for. David believed the Lord provided an opportunity to display unto Saul his innocence and his mercy, and really to be kind to Saul. I think one was thinking in the flesh, and the other was thinking after the Lord. One was willing to decide based upon an opportunity, and the other, based upon God's Word. You see, David didn't know what the future held. He didn't know how long he'd be persecuted and hunted, and he didn't know King Saul's decisions. But he was willing to follow God and trust him with the matter. You know, today, in closing, we must be willing to follow God. As far as individuals, the application here, we must be willing to follow God for salvation. You see, the Bible makes it clear. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, if we want to be saved, we've got to come to God through Jesus Christ. This teaching that there are many ways to God, it's a false teaching. You can't back that up with the Word of God. The Word of God said there's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. So we must come through Christ to be saved. This morning, I want to encourage you to make sure you're going to God His way, the way that He has established through Jesus Christ. Afterwards, once you're saved, I encourage you to continue in God's ways. Now, the best way to continue in God's ways is first to know them. We must read our Bibles, study the Word of God. You see, we're going to be tempted, and there are going to be times where we're going to have to make a split-second decision. And we're not going to have time to go to the Word of God and look something up, so it's best to study it out. So when that temptation comes, we're ready. We're prepared to say, no, this is contrary to God's Word. I'm not going to go that direction. And then, once we know God's Word, we just simply need to apply it and live by it. Walk by the teachings that we find in God's Word. Now, as far as our church, you think of our church this morning. 90 years, God has blessed our church. Let's be faithful and willing to follow God with the message. His message of salvation. Of course, I know that there are other, we have to, you know, train and teach other doctrines. But first and foremost, we should declare that Jesus is God and that Jesus has provided salvation to sinners. We must take the gospel out, preach it, teach it, take it to those in our neighborhood, in our communities, support missionaries so they can take it out to those around the world and be faithful with the message that God has given us. And finally, how about we be faithful with the methods? You see, let's do things the way God has ordained them and planned and not the way that we think is right. Not a way that is a man-made scheme, but something that God has said, let's go this direction. So let's remain faithful as individuals, as a church. Let's pray that we remain faithful to God's Word. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings that You provided. Thank You for this passage with David and the testimony he had here concerning his faithfulness to You. And this morning, as we have this time of invitation, I pray that if You've worked in any hearts here this morning, that they will get things settled with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, eyes closed for a few minutes. Just a short time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart here this morning, I encourage you, plead with you to get things settled with Him. If it's for salvation, perhaps there's one here that in the process of this message has come to the understanding that they're without Christ. If that's the case, you can be saved today. You can come to God through Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe on Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. So I encourage you to get it settled. If you have any questions, please come down to these altars. We can take the Word of God and show you how you can know that you're saved. Perhaps here this morning you just have a personal matter where you know you need to seek God's will and walk with God. I encourage you to seek God, seek after the Lord. Or maybe you want to pray for our church. Pray that God will bless our church. We'll see souls saved. We'll take the gospel out, continue to take it out, and that we'll continue to be faithful to Him.